Hi, welcome to VSchool. We are on chapter 7, trading in the market. Up till now, we have understood the basics of investments. We have saw why we should invest in shares. We have also seen the different types of shares. And we have also got some idea about how everyone could invest in shares. So investment in shares is not only for few, everyone can do it. But the point is, after investing in share, how can one trade in it? And when we talk about investing in shares, what are the basic procedures that are required for opening an account or giving instructions for buying and selling of shares, and to whom such instructions are to be given, as anyone cannot go to the stock market, only authorized members, that is the stock brokers, and stock brokers take instructions from the investors, and on their behalf the buying and selling happens. So friends, in this chapter, the basic objective is to guide an investor in the process of trading in the market. We will see with whom we should open an account for trading, to whom the instructions for buying and selling should be given. What will you learn from this chapter? The first and the foremost thing you will learn is, how does one purchase or sell shares in the open market? The second important thing we'll learn is, how does the procedure of this buying or selling of shares takes place? And how do you choose and instruct your broker? As I said, one cannot directly go to the stock exchange. One has to route their instructions of buying and selling to the broker. And the point is, how should one choose a broker? So this is all we are going to discuss in this chapter. So let us come to the first point. How does one purchase or sell shares in the open market? When we talk about a market, stock exchange is the market where securities are bought and sold. Large number of buyers and sellers are connected to the stock exchange through the brokers. Stock exchange or markets came into being as a place where buyers could purchase what they wanted and sellers could sell what they wished to sell. So based on the buying and selling powers, the buying and selling happens, each buyer will get a particular seller for the price in which he wants to buy. However, unlike usual markets, all the sellers and buyers do not visit it, but deal through their agents, and these agents are the members of the stock exchange, and these members of stock exchange are known as the brokers. This makes the operations more controlled, disciplined, and workable, as the brokers are bound by certain rules and regulations, and automatically one who gives instructions to the broker becomes bound by the regulations of the stock exchange, and hence this makes the operations more controlled, disciplined, and workable. A stock market is like an auction house. Buyers offer a price, and if the seller is agreeable to the offer, a transaction is completed. Buyers naturally try to purchase at the lowest rate, and the seller aims to sell at the highest price. So both buyer and seller have their own motive. However, when this motive is matched, the transaction gets completed. Now let us understand two distinct terms that are uttered in a stock market scenario. These are the brokers and the jobbers. Earlier, there were brokers and jobbers. Brokers are the members of stock exchange. Shares are bought and sold by the brokers on behalf of the clients. However, the jobbers were the intermediaries who dealt with specific shares. Brokers approached them if they wanted to buy or sell a share. With computerization and online trading, the jobbers have almost ceased to exist. So initially we had brokers and jobbers specifically dealing with buying and selling of shares. However, with computerization and online trading, brokers are prevailing with their computerized systems. The jobbers have ceased to exist. Now the point comes, how can an investor hold its shares, especially the dematerialized shares, because now the shares are issued in the dematerialized form, and hence every investor needs to open a dematerialized shares account, popularly known as the DMAT account. An individual, if he wishes to invest in the shares, has to first open an account with the depository participant. Depository participants are like agents of depositories. And every individual has to open an account with the depository participant, because all shares are traded, have been dematerialized and held in the depositories. Currently, we are having two main depositories. One is the National Stock Depository Limited, popularly known as the NSDL, and the another one is the Central Depository Services Limited, popularly known as the CDSL. An individual must also register himself with a broker, that is specifically for opening a trading account. So an investor needs to open two specific accounts. One, the DMAT account with the depository participant, and a trading account with the broker. Now let us understand, how does the trading procedure takes place? The first thing a prospective buyer or seller has to do is to locate a broker. The prospective buyer who wants to buy a share gives an order to the broker for the purchase, stipulating usually the maximum price he is prepared to go up to. Once the broker receives the instructions from the buyer, the broker would punch the order into the electronic system provided by the stock exchange. In case of the National Stock Exchange, it is the NSE system. In case of the Bombay Stock Exchange, it is the BSE system, known as the Bolt. How does the trading procedure takes place? Others who are keen on selling the shares would also punch in the price they would like to sell at. As soon as the price is matched, the deal is consummated. So this is how the buying and selling happens. How to select a broker? Ideally, one should deal with a registered stock broker who is actually a member of the stock exchange. A registered stock broker is obliged to fulfill every contract that he enters into, whether it be for a purchase or a sale. And the brokers are bound by the regulations of the stock exchange. If he or she does not, the stock exchange authorities can take action against the broker and even debar him from the membership and take other measures. Once having zeroed in on a broker, one must discuss the commission he or she proposes to take. So it's not just the instructions that are given to the broker. The broker also charges his fees, which we call it as a brokerage, in the form of commission for the transactions he undertakes on behalf of his clients. So having understood a broker, let us understand who is a sub-broker. A large, busy broker may not be interested in acting for a small investor. And that large broker may not have his branches spread across the city or a region. it may be necessary then to deal with a sub-broker operating under a registered broker. And these sub-brokers, you may find it near your place, whether it's a workplace or your home place. There is a little danger in dealing to the sub-brokers, since as sub-brokers are not members of stock exchange, the disputes or disagreements between an investor and his sub-broker does not fall under the regulatory control of the exchanges. As we discussed before, for holding your electronic shares, you need to open an DMAT account. And this DMAT account has to be opened with a depository participant. And banks are allowed to act as a depository participant. Banks can connect with the investors with the depository by becoming a registered agent of the depository, which is known as depository participant. After becoming a depository participant of the depository, such as the NSDL and CDSL, bank can help the investors to open an DMAT account with the depository, and based on the buying and selling, the transactions are reflected in the DMAT account. Another way a person could purchase or sell a share. Some banks have established a broking arm as a subsidiary, because banking business is not a broking business. So banks have established a broking arm as a subsidiary to enable their customers to open a trading account for trading in the shares. For example, Kotak Securities is a subsidiary of Kotak Mahindra Bank. It serves retail and institutional investors for the stock broking. A person could purchase or sell a share on long running platforms provided by the Kotak Securities. So which means Kotak Securities acts as a broking arm, and investors will have to open trading account with Kotak Securities and do their buying and selling transactions. Now, for the services rendered by the broker, he will charge some fee, which we can call it as a commission. Commissions can range between 0.5% for a large investor to about 1%, or at times 1.5% for not large investors. The percentage will depend really on the need of the broker for your business and your trading volumes. So generally, higher the trading volumes, the commission charge is lesser. However, when you buy a share, it would not be apparent as to what the commission is as the broker has taken. But once you get a contract note, there everything is very specifically mentioned. Now, how do you choose and instruct your broker? The trader has two options to instruct the broker. Number one, you authorize the broker to buy or sell from the stock market at the ruling market price, so he wants to buy it instantly. Or instruct the broker with limits, that is to purchase a share at a maximum price, say for rupees 25 per share, or to sell not less than, say for rupees 28 per share. So whatever limits that are set by the trader, the broker is actually obliged to do the transactions based on the limit. If the shares are not available or cannot be sold at the price stipulated, then the broker is not supposed to take any action. On the another fresh day, when the market opens, the trader will have to give fresh instructions to the broker. Based on that, again, if that price is available, then the broker will initiate the transaction. So these are the two basic types of instructions that can be given by the trader, either to buy at the market price or to buy at a price that is limited by the trader. Now, how do you choose and instruct your broker? The trader has the option to revise the instructions given to the broker till the deal is consummated, because we have seen the stock market is volatile. And based on that, a trader may feel that he may have to revise the instructions either on the price front or on the quantity front. However, such revision instructions are possible till the deal is consummated. On receiving the instructions, the broker would punch in the quantity and the rate into the system, and when the match takes place, the deal is consummated. So, such transactions can also get consummated on the basis of revised instructions given by the trader. One can instruct the broker to order with limits, especially under these four scenarios. Number one, the markets are reasonably stable and a large or dramatic rise in the price is not anticipated. Number two, one is cautious and wants to control his commitments. Number three, one is unprepared to give carte blanche to one's broker. Number four, one does not expect to make large profit and therefore does not want to buy at a very high price. So under this scenario, traders will prefer to give instructions with limit to the broker. Now, what is a lapse of contract? If a broker is unable to execute a contract during the day, then it usually lapses. Either he may not get the quantity right, or he may not get the price at which the trader has instructed him to buy or sell. Orders have to be given fresh every day. This is because the market is volatile and can fluctuate enormously. And it is important that one does not give orders without any time limits, because it is possible that on account of bad news, calamities and the likes, the price may plunge. And hence it is important that one does not give orders without any time limits, especially when markets are volatile. And we have seen in the previous slides when the instructions on limits could be given. Now, what is a trade from principal to principal? At times, a broker may himself own the shares his client wishes to buy, or he may wish to buy the shares his client wishes to sell. In this instance, if the transaction goes through, it is specifically called as a trade from principal to principal. Now we have seen a broker takes instructions from his client, and since the broker is the member of the stock exchange, he actually initiates the transactions on behalf of the client. So let us understand the relationship between a client and a broker. The relationship between the client and a broker are determined by the laws of the stock exchange where the broker is registered. We have seen only certain people can become members of stock exchange. They are bound by the rules and regulations of the stock exchange, and hence the relation between the clients and brokers are also determined by the laws of the stock exchange where the broker is registered. The broker is personally liable to third parties for any transactions he enters into on behalf of his clients. Consequently, the broker is entitled, if the client does not honor his commitment to pay for the shares purchased, claim any loss he has incurred as a consequences from his client. So basically, the broker is entitled, if the client does not honor his commitment to pay for the shares, claim any loss he has incurred as a consequence from his client. So likewise, the broker has obligations to the stock exchange to fulfill the commitment he has with stock exchange, whether it is for buying or for selling. What is a protection that is offered to a client if a broker defaults? A client can offer serving a written notice to the broker, sell his contracts to another broker. He can then claim any loss that he has incurred. He can also complain to the governing body of the stock exchange, because we have seen the broker is bound by the rules and regulations and he cannot default. If he defaults, then he'll have to face the consequences based on the rules and regulations of the stock exchange. The board is obliged to investigate the complaint, and if the broker is found to be guilty, to take suitable action. In extreme cases, the broker would also be declared as a defaulter, and as a last option, clients can also seek redressal from the civil or criminal court. So client has a wide range of option to take action against a broker who defaults. Now, what is the role of a defaulter committee? The defaulter committee would take into custody books and accounts, papers, securities of the broker. This committee would then sell the members' assets, including their shares, take custody of his money, and distribute them pro rata between the other members. As is usual in such cases, the claims of the client should be considered last. Consequently, the small investor is at a disadvantage. And to protect the clients, and small investors can have insurance funds. So insurance funds have been created specifically for protecting clients and small investors. Now, few points that should be remembered, especially in choosing a broker. It is always preferable to select one who is recommended by someone who has dealt with him for some time and is satisfied with his integrity and honesty, so that you won't do the mistakes again if someone has a negative history with some broker. So someone who recommends and has a good experience related with integrity and honesty of the broker, such broker would always be preferable. Brokers often give advice. Now, this in itself is good, but before an investor acts on the advice given by the broker, it is prudent to remember that a broker may have a vested interest in the advice that has been provided. There may be a share is unable to sell at a particular price. It is therefore always better to check with one or two others before the order is given. Always check in the market. Always look at the opinions provided by the experts before directly, blindly accepting any advice the broker has given. A common complaint that most buyers have is that the broker appears to have purchased the share at the highest price for the day and sold them for the lowest price for the day. This might have happened during those days where there was no online trading. This is not really true as soon as an individual order is punched in, given, derived, and the time of booking the order is made. In case of online trading, generally the transaction happens online, and more or less the same rate and the quantity that is ordered gets appeared in the contract note provided by the broker. But one has to always check what price they have instructed, what quantity they have instructed, based on that whether the broker has actually acted on that or not. So friends, these are the basic pointers, especially as to what type of account should be opened when an investor wants to trade at the stock exchange. Who are the people who are supposed to actually trade, and who are the people who have to give instructions to? So we have seen the brokers are authorized to trade in the stock exchange, and the clients or the investors give instructions to the brokers, and this is how brokers actually take instructions from the client for giving that effect in the stock exchange. So stock exchange is the market where broker actually punches the transactions, and these transactions are punched on the instructions received from the clients. We have also seen the brokers are actually bound by the rules and regulations of the stock exchange, and we have seen the various types of options available with the clients in case the broker defaults. And finally, we have also seen some pointers which the investor should keep in mind while investing in the stock market. Thank you.